New Thought Media Network. We are a global broadcast network of positive music, media, and entertainment. Inspiring humanity's evolution along the journey of enlightenment and creating a world of love, peace, empowerment, and prosperity for all. New Thought Media Network. Positively inspiring.
Welcome to Ministers Talking Sh**, a weekly program where Rev Briz and Rev Z and their guests chat about current affairs, world events, spiritual principles, and any old sh** they want to talk about. Based on the New Thought philosophy and ancient wisdoms, Ministers Talking Sh** shares a visionary perspective of the evolving spiral called spiritual living. Join us each week as we explore the emerging paradigm of life on planet Earth and beyond.
And good morning, dear ones. Reverend Robert with you over here.
Rev Z right here.
And this is Ministers Talking Shit for Friday, the 12th of April. Oh my God, April's almost halfway over. What is going on here? Every time I turn around, it's another new month. So, yes. Good morning, Linda. Grateful that you're with us. Good to see you, dear one. Anyone else, feel free to chat along, chime along, drop your comment as we go. How's your week, Benzy?
Oh, so far so good. I tell you, we got that ominous day just looming in the air, though. Taxes. They are due on Monday.
So illuminating not- the air?
Huh?
Are you saying illuminating the air?
Well, no. Well, I guess, yeah, in some ways it is illuminating the air. It, you know, this is probably one of the most loved and hated seasons of the year. Those who get money back love it. Those who have to pay hate it. and so come Monday, everybody will, there'll be a bunch of happy people or a bunch of sad people.
Yes. Exactly.
I got an extension, so I don't know whether I'm happy or sad right now.
You know, here's what I learned. So, number one, folks, we're talking about the tax filing deadline here in the United States is Monday. If you're not filed by the end of Monday, you could face a half a percentage point penalty for late filing on anything you owe. Now, so if you don't owe money and you're getting a refund, well, no harm, no foul. If you file late, no big deal. And the U.S. government will actually pay interest on your rebate. If you defer your rebate until the end of the year or whatever, they'll pay you interest on what they owe you. However, if you don't file, you're going to pay interest on what you owe plus a penalty for not filing. Now, you can file a real quick file for an extension. However, what I also, you know, if you don't know this, if you file an extension and it turns out you owe money, then you have to pay interest on what you owe for the time that you don't have to pay the late penalty, but you got to pay the interest penalty. So if you think you owe money, but you're not ready, you're better off to file and not pay than you are to not file. And if you don't file, or if you file an extension, make sure you file as soon as you can. Don't just be like, oh, 6 months of freedom, I'll do it in October. Don't put it off. File as quickly as you can, especially if you think you owe money. Don't put it off if you owe money. It just gets to be more money that you owe. Yeah, I think there's
it's a strange arrangement we have with taxes, but it is what it is, I reckon.
You know, I've long thought that if everybody actually worked rather to avoid taxes, but to actually balance their taxes, what their tax obligation, everybody'd get along a lot easier. If we did actually, if the super rich actually paid their taxes, it would be a lot less of a burden on so many others. And yeah. I get the arguments about, you know, I earned it and I da 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 da. But, you know, come on back. I want to come back to an argument I've seen a lot lately and I want to keep making. If Elon Musk is making $200 billion, he can give everybody in the United States a couple of million and he wouldn't even notice a dip in his bank account.
Yeah, right.
He'd be like, no big deal. I can make that tomorrow. He'd make that back the next day in tax dividends or so, or in stock dividends or something. That there, to me, there's got to be a better way, and there needs to be a better system to allow or to force those that use the most resources in this country to pay a higher tax rate. Companies, corporations that are sneaking out on their taxes. How many companies reported record-breaking billion-dollar profits last year? And the people at the grocery store are paying $5 for eggs and $6 for a box of cereal or whatever it is. And then we blame it on inflation. I think there needs to be a real good look at how this all works. And I don't know. Sometimes I think the stock market was one of the biggest mistakes we ever made.
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon. That's for sure. You know, and here's an interesting piece that, you know, if Elon Musk, now I don't know how, you know, you said 200 billion, right? And let's say that's close to right. If he owns 200, if he has 200 billion, if he gave 10% of that, right? Mm-hmm. And then we spread that over the 333 million people in this country, that would be like $60 million. If I did my math right, let me just check it. Because that's a lot of money for them not to pay anything.
What do we think the population of America is right now?
333 million.
Okay. What do we get?
Yeah. Say again.
Well, 20 billion, this says 60 bucks. I must have done my math wrong.
Yeah, I that's what I was thinking, because I'm saying that can't be right. But I guess it is, because...
Again, regardless of the number, because he's not the only one. So no. If Musk throws in something, and Bezos throws in something, and Gates throws in something, and Zuckerberg throws in something, and, right... We don't have to worry about Mackenzie Scott. She's throwing her money around like crazy to nonprofits. So, but if all these bigwigs billions of dollars, more money than they're ever going to be able to spend, invest, right? What's going to happen? They're going to die with all that money, and it's all going to go to their kids who are never going to have to work a day, and their grandkids who are never going to have to work a day. We keep creating this cycle of elitism based on money. When we got people dying in the streets, there has to be some sort of movement to help balance, to get to a more equitable position for people across the planet.
Yeah. Well, you know, and with that being said, that brings up in mind a story you brought up earlier, that I think it was Harvard is in a few years are going back to instituting one of the standardized tests to get back in as a requirement to get back in school, because now a lot of schools have made the SAT slash ACT optional.
Right.
And now they're going to bring it back. Right. Now that's in the midst of a couple of stories that have been popping up lately about admission into some of the what's called the elite schools in terms of admission, but more than that, the cost, right? They're saying in a few more years, like, you know, the cost to go annually to go to a school like a Harvard or a Princeton or, you know, Stanford or UChicago. Now, a lot of these schools have very good, if you will, programs for underprivileged or underfunded people.
Right.
But the sticker price right now, probably on average for these schools, is like $70,000 a year. That's just for room and board, right? Tuition, room and board. So you're going to wind up, so they're saying in a few more years, like 5 years, it's going to be up closer to $90,000 to $100,000. So you're going to pay $500,000. And if you go to those schools, which are great schools, if you major in English, it's going to take you a long time to pay back $500,000.
Yeah. You know, I hadn't thought of it that way, but $70,000 a year to share a room, which is probably about the size of my office here. So they're making $140,000 a year off of room and board for a couple of students. I don't pay that much. It doesn't cost me that much to feed a family of four, let alone and house a family of four, let alone feed one kid.
Yeah. And you haven't counted transportation back and forth, the time that they call you and say, "Dad, we got an event. I need a little dress, or I need a little suit, or I need some money to pay for transportation, or, you know, whatever."
Right.
So that $70,000 winds up really being $8,000. You probably pay about $10,000 with airfare and knickknacks and care packages and
you know, that's one of those other stories we saw this week by Joe Biden, President Biden, announcing a new wave of financial relief, canceling another $4.7 billion and or $7.4 billion in student loan debt, which I agree with. You know, this brings the cancellation total that Biden has canceled $153 billion in student loan debt, and that affects nearly 4.5 million people. But that only represents about 10%, less than 10% of the outstanding student loan debt. So we add a zero to that $153 billion, and we get $1.5 trillion in student loan debt across the United States.
And you think about it. What percentage of those outstanding loans are people who are school teachers, who are, and those are the ones he's canceling? Civil service, they're not making, you know, to be a school teacher, to make, you know, like $100,000 a year, you have to have, like,
if you're lucky,
at least almost a PhD or a master's, at least, with probably 10, 20 years of service, right? By then, that money has just ballooned.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem, is it becomes a crippling debt that people can't pay, and so they don't, and so they get slammed with fees and fines, and added interest rate, and it's another place where, you know, we talk about this a lot, folks. Z and I talk about this on the air. We talk about it off the air. We talk about it sometimes, I think, probably in our sleep, that there's so many broken systems because so many different systems have been allowed to just run amok, really, for the profits. So the stock price goes up. And I was watching a movie last night, so you know it's fiction, but in the movie, these two guys have built a company over decades together, and they've been best friends over decades together, and one guy's kind of at the place where he's downsizing a lot and making cuts to ensure the stock price goes up, because otherwise the company is looks good for takeover artists, and they're afraid they're going to get bought out and chopped up, so they chop it up themselves in order to raise their stock prices. And at one point, the one guy fires his best friend and kicks him out of the company. And when the friend comes back and look and confronts the guy after a few months, the guy is like, "Hey, stock price went up to 97. I just made 600 million. How'd you do?" Like, could care less about the people, could care. We've gotten to a point where our society is so overly concerned with how's the stock price of whatever it is, any company out there, how's the stock, what do we do to increase the stock price? Again, it might have been one of our biggest mistakes, because how much of the country is now beholden to what the stock price does. How many people would immediately be living on the streets if they didn't happen to have that dividend coming in from some stock that they bought along the way, or this or that, or the, it's become such a convoluted system. And if you're not in the market, if you're not quote playing the numbers or watching the candlesticks, if you're not part of it, it's really, really tough to get ahead.
Well, and here's probably now one of the biggest challenges, right? Because, you know, we understand and we know and we honor, if someone creates something that has value and people are benefiting from it, we're not saying that they do it for free, right?
Right.
And the challenge now, though, in the stock market is the average person cannot compete, because they have computerized, arbitraged trading, where, you know, the average person trying to sit down and calculate the value of a stock and make some some idea of where it might go, expectations in that, it's hard to do on a single stock, because you can't, you know, to really make a move, you need to go in there buying stocks at 1,000 shares, right? You buy a stock at 1,000 shares and it goes up, you know, $1 or $10, you made a little bit of money, right? But you can't do that, because you got computer systems now that will trade large blocks of stocks before you can even figure out it's time to trade. And the trade, it's just, you know, you've seen people going to ETFs, right? They go to it used to be mutual funds, which are still there, but now they're going to ETFs. They're taking percentages of stocks, and you can bet on how the market's going to go up or down on an ETF. It's just getting more and more complicated out of the common man's hand.
Yep, exactly. And again, unless you want to go get a PhD in all of this, you're fighting against computers. You mostly don't have much of a chance when you're trying to beat out the computer to a decision. And systems need to change. That's what I can say.
I mean, it in the beginning, it was a way to for people to get ahead, right? On hard work, right? But then, you know, the lobbyists came in and all those different. So now they start messing with legal opportunities and legal roadblocks. And so now you have to be a career investor, right? And that's the other piece of it, right? Is that there's a difference between investing and trading, right? And most of your stuff, if you look at on TV and the markets, is about trading, which is timed, which is volume. And it's not about investing. Like you were saying, I think Coca-Cola is going to be a hit. So I invest in Coca-Cola now. I get some dividends. I think it's going to grow. It's going to, when I retire, it's going to give me some income.
Right.
Not the case.
It's buy 1,000 shares, hope it goes up by $2, make $2,000 and get out again. And hope that all happens within an hour, because in a couple hours that stock's going to crash and go back to what it was at the beginning of the day, and so on and so forth. Hey, in completely irrelevant news that has no bearing on anybody's life or makes any sense whatsoever, Shedeur Sanders, quarterback for the Colorado Buffs, attended his first in-person lecture at CU Boulder this week after being enrolled for more than a year. So the kid's been enrolled in school for over a year, been taking nothing but online classes, and decided to show up at a chemistry course, at a chemistry lecture in person. That's
well,
news.
I think that's an extension of a bigger story that came out this week, where a professor wrote a letter to Coach Sanders complaining about athletes, and I don't know if it was just football players or if it was athletes across the board, but he got one. I don't know if other coaches got one as well, saying that, you know, the students aren't prepared, and he got into their case, right? I didn't read the article, but Coach Sanders really tore into his team. So now I'm probably, you know, classroom participation might go up, because he said something like, if you don't go to class, you're not on this team. So it's going to be interesting to follow that story.
And then he got an email. Dad, does that mean me too? Yeah, kid, that means you too. Get your ass to class. Get out there doing some good work. We need some good PR in this. And of course, yes. Shedeur was followed by cameras, and reporters thought it was so important that he was being trailed by cameras as a college football star went to a class. It just is like, wow, I thought they were there for school. And football
stars. And, you know, this is an age-old thing, right? This has always been the image. That's part of the dumb jock phenomenon, right? You know, that jocks don't go to class or whatever. But then, you know, we always see during football season these All-American educated or you know, academic All-Americans athletes majoring in various subjects. And you know, it's I applaud if that's the case to get these kids, because what in that moment that Coach Sanders was talking to his players, he says, the vast majority of you are not going to be in the NFL. Right. The vast majority of you are not going to get these great big NIL deals. So for you not to go to class and then run out your eligibility, you only got 4 or 5 years of eligibility, depending on what happened when you came in with the COVID and all of that, whether you was redshirted or not. In 4 years, 5 years max, you got to be out of here, and you better have a degree.
Right. Yep.
Yep. The priorities have been skewed a little bit. But you know,
the way my brain works, because you know the way that the speech is supposed to end. Because if you don't get a degree, you're going to end up like OJ. My apologies to OJ's family. I'm sure they're not watching. But we can't live off our minor amounts of celebrity in the world. In 10, 15 years, nobody's going to care that most of those guys played for Coach Prime at CU during this time in history. They're going to be like, oh, you played football in college. Good for you. You still got your knees? Good. Go lift those bricks and put them over there. Or go, right? If you don't have that education at this point, it gets real, real hard in the world. And you end up another wannabe celebrity on a heap of old football players that are irrelevant.
Well, you know, as quiet as it kept, you know, there's one thing in the black community that's always been a staple, and that is your biggest key to freedom is education.
Yes.
All these other things are, you know, add-ons. If you're a good basketball player, great. If you're a good, you know, track runner, great. If you're good at creating, you know, designs, that's great. But the biggest thing that you need to help you leverage is education. And the challenge now, as we talked about earlier, the cost of an education is becoming more and more out of reach. To go to, even here in Colorado, if you go to a state school in Colorado and you live on campus, it's going to cost you, if you get some, you know, the flat out cost is going to be about $30,000 a year.
Right.
Right. So that's going to cost you $120,000 a year, plus or minus maybe $10,000-$20,000. So you could be looking at as much as $150,000 to get an education. Now,
and that's not even an advanced degree. That's a basic general studies, liberal arts, let's just get your ass through college type of degree. If you really want a higher tier bachelor's or go on for a master's degree, it gets crazy. Our dear friend Linda is saying the cost of college education has increased in her day working, paying my tuition fees, books, and living expenses. What you did, yeah, no way you can do that at today's prices. No way we can do that. Anybody can do that. The working your way through college just doesn't exist anymore. And I got a kid at CU Boulder. I got a kid that might have been in that chemistry lecture. Who knows? That we know straight up, it isn't a reality anymore. And how many schools are really just profiteering off the backs of kids that are never going to really be able to land a job that would pay off those kinds of debts?
And think about this. You know, one of the biggest topics in news, educational news now, is the gap in learning or the gap in standards of meeting the standards that happened between COVID over a 3-year period from 2020 to 2023, let's say, right? So now they are very aware, and it is very apparent that education at all levels suffered a little bit because they weren't in class, kids weren't attending. So now you're going to have kids who get to that point, they're going to go to college. They may not have been prepared enough or have the right chops. And they're going to get debt. And then they're going to get there and find out, not for me. Now, you know, I think now junior colleges and community college are beginning to be good options. I'm not sure what those costs are, but I'm sure they're expensive as well. But it's a good option to make sure you only if you get there and drop out, you get 2 years of a degree and move forward, or get a trade.
Right.
I mean, there's got to be some better options for these kids and parents, because parents in a lot of ways take the loans.
And like you were saying earlier, we don't pay our teachers enough to cover that kind of, to make payments on that size of a debt. We don't pay most of our public sector workers enough to make, you know, right. And this was another thing this movie I watched highlighted last night, was that in the world of corporate, in the rush to maximize corporate profits, people end up out on the streets looking for a job with a master's degree in one thing, and they're bagging groceries, working construction, waving a flag at a roadside construction site, doing something that wasn't what they wanted to do in the world. You know, there's got to be a way to find to employ people, not based on necessarily, I understand certain things, certain places. If you go to the Wharton School of Business, chances are pretty good that you might make, you've got what it takes to make it in business in a variety of fields. But if you go to Rutgers or CU Boulder or any state school, let's say any traditional college, you might come out with a degree that's totally unemployable. Yeah. In today's age. Yeah. And, you know, we didn't plan to rip on the U.S. On the U.S. education system here today, folks. It's just where spirit kind of drove us. But again, as you and I talk about all the time, Z, these are systems within systems within systems. And those systems have been corrupted over time. Those systems have been rigged over time to benefit, I'm going to say it, the white elite on the backs of our brothers and sisters of color in many, many ways. And if any, I don't know there's much I can do. I didn't get a, quote, formal education. I got a more esoteric around the sides that type of education. But there's got to be a way to be able to balance all this. And I know there's experts out there that can do this. And if all we're doing is drawing attention to the issue, that in itself is part of the solution. Getting more people talking about this stuff. I don't know that we talk about, we bitch because Joe Biden, not us, you and I, but a lot of people like to complain because Joe is paying off some past debt and hopefully making it a little bit easier for people to support their families, to afford the basic necessities. But my guess is most of those people don't have any idea how they would afford putting a kid through college.
Mm-mm. And, you know, Linda brings up a point about military service, and I agree that, you know, that's an option for people to go and get a skill and get a college education. But as quiet as it's kept, there's a large number of military veterans who owe loans because the military, the GI Bill didn't pay at all. They took it. They got a job. And, you know, so, and some of them got jobs that are good jobs, so to speak. Right. But when you think about it, if you come out of school and you got, I think they say now the average student debt is $30,000 to $40,000. You come out of school, even if you come out making $80,000 a year, right? It's going to be a while before you can think about getting a house or a car, because $40,000 of debt at 5% interest, if you get a federal loan, that's a good payment every month. You know, that's going to be a $500 or $600 a month payment.
Yep. Exactly.
And you're making $80,000, you might not be making, you're not making much more than that per week.
True. you might end up needing to live at the dorms because it's the most But I do. Here's what I know for sure, folks. There is an answer out there for all of this. I don't know what it is, but I know there are people that do. And I know there's somebody somewhere in some lab, in some dorm room that they know they're paying too much for, that is right now catching that vision of how we solve these issues, of how we shift our thinking so that we have a different experience in the future. I don't want my kids saddled with student loans. And you know, luckily for my eldest, he's navigating away with grants and with scholarships and with other things that he's not going to have a massive amount of debt. But why are we starting our kids in life with debt? Why are we saddling our kids at the beginning of their career with a whole bunch of debt? There's more than enough reasons to go into debt. You just named them: a car, a house, a baby, whatever it might be. That there's got to be a way to make education not just affordable. I don't like that word. I don't like the idea, oh, let's make it affordable. Let's make it so that these kids are able to contribute back to society without this weight over their head. Because like you just said, if I got to make a $500 or $600 payment every month to my student loan, that's $500 or $600 worth of good I could be doing in the world. That's money I could be giving to an NGO or an organization or helping or just giving to people to help others out. There is a way we can get this all to balance out and where everyone is got opportunity and equity and isn't scraping and isn't giving up things like having a family or getting a good car, a safe car, simply to pay off student loan.
Because you think about it, if you're making $80,000 a year, that's about $1,500 a week, right? And if you're paying and some of these car payments are like close to $400 to $500 a month if you get a brand new car.
Yep.
So that's going to be
you're going to pay for your car
with the car and insurance. You're going to be paying, you know,
you pay your car for a month. Week one pays for your car, week two pays for your mortgage, week three pays for your groceries, and week four pays for your school debt. And at the end of the month, you're not getting ahead.
Because you're going to have interest on that car too. And by no means I'm not advocating that we don't pay our debts, right?
Right.
But if the ability to live the American dream is saddling me with debt and pushing me out of the market, if you will, of being a true success story, then we need to change that. Now, we're not saying give people a free ride all the time, but we know sometimes people need a free ride, right? And so we should have a system that allows for that. But to assume that we're going to take advantage of everybody, or I won't even say that, assuming that we're going to price these services and products and whatever at a point where the average person can't afford them, then, you know, we keep contributing to a system, to a model that definitely does not serve the middle class or the so-called lower class. It only serves those who are in the upper class, if you will.
Yep. You know, this is just kind of striking me as we go along. What about some sort of civil service, Peace Corps style commitment that says, hey, take out your loans, get your education, do it as we're doing it, make sure the schools are getting paid so they can pay their stockholders and yada, yada, yada. And after school, you got X amount of time to do X amount of hours of good in this world. Work at a recycle, whatever. It doesn't have to be your full-time thing. It could be if you wanted to. If you want to knock out your 10,000 hours of commitment in 2 years, do it. If you want to make it a couple hundred hours a year for the next 20 years, do it. But at the end of that time, we'll forgive your loan, and we'll forget, and we'll keep your loan at interest-free during this period. So you're not accruing anymore. You had $100,000 worth of debt when you came out. You give us 100,000 hours of work and we forgive your debt. And if you don't, if at some point you haven't made, if you haven't put in at least an hour's worth of work this month, or if you haven't put in a minimum amount on a monthly basis, and you don't have it a deferment or some sort of special case, then we back charge the interest and we charge you the full. And if you bail out of the program, you get slammed. But if you stick with it, work your job, raise your family, and give a handful of hours a month to something, some good cause, some identifier. I know it's a lot of overhead, and there's going to be administration and people that got to vet this company and that. But there has to be a way to make this different than the profiteering we appear to see right now. And, you know, it's no big deal when we forgave everybody those PPP loans after the pandemic, but it's a big deal when we're forgiven a few billion dollars for students so they can continue to live their lives and be productive citizens on the planet. Hey, let's say hi. Let's say good morning to Michelle Wadley. Good to see you, Rev Jersey Girl. Not our own, but one. You'll see Rep Michelle here on the network for all kinds of reasons at different times. Glad to see you joining us here this morning, dear one. Thanks for being awakened with us.
I would love to see, you know, like when you were mentioning that, they used to have this program, I don't know if it's still around, Teach America, that when you graduated, if you wanted to help get rid of your loans, you could sign up for Teach America. It was a 2-year commitment, and they would, you know, help. I don't know if they paid it all off, but they would help you with your school loans, no matter what your degree was in, right? And so even if you had a good degree and you wanted to give back service and pay loans off or defer your actually starting work, it was good experience, good public relations and public service work. And I don't know if that's still around or not, but, you know, I agree. Things like that.
Right.
Would be great.
The Peace Corps. Whatever happened to the Peace Corps?
It's still around. I actually heard a story about it the other day, that it's still going on, because I think that was started during the Kennedy era, still around. And I'm not sure how many, but you know what happens there. I heard in this story is that from that a lot of people go into the State Department and become ambassadors and things like that, working around the country for goodwill after they get that travel bit in. And you know, it was a great program.
Yeah. Teach for America is still around. And they have a website.
Still around.
Teach for America is still around. The Peace Corps is still around. But we don't seem to make, nobody seems to talk about these things. I don't know either of my kids being exposed to the fact like that this Teach for America or the Peace Corps were options, right? Your options these days seem to be go to college, be a bum, or go into the military. And that isn't realistic for every kid out there.
No.
Well, folks, you know, we've effectively invested a good 45 minutes in this conversation. And as we often say, we're not here to try to solve all these issues, but we are here to discuss them, because it is through raising consciousness that we know the grand idea bubbles forward. We know that there is a bigger vision for how this all works, mm-hmm. and how this how we can support our kids through their education, and all the other parts of what's going on out there. So before we wrap, though, we do need to, I do want to say prayers and condolences to the family of O.J. Simpson. He did make his transition after a long bout with prostate cancer yesterday. Men, get your exam. Women, get an exam just in case. But prostate cancer is now a leading killer of men, especially in America. There's a great stigma around getting screened and even talking about this disease. And regardless of what you think of Mr. Simpson's contribution to humanity and culture, he was a human being, and he was with us on this planet. And so we mourn his loss and celebrate the life that he did live and the good that he did bring to the planet. So sorry to see you go, OJ. Sorry, even if I don't agree with you, sorry to see you go.
And you know, he was, as in today's standard, he was a young man. He was only 76 years old.
Yep, exactly. So, all right, we're going to get out of here for now, folks. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. Stay tuned to the New Thought Media Network throughout the day. We've got a great day of programming, and I'll be back at 5 with the good news this evening as well. So plan to join us for that. Until next time, we want to wish you peace and richest blessings. Bye now.
And thanks for listening to this week's episode of Ministers Talking. We'll be back again next week with more commentary on current affairs, world events, and any other our ministers want to talk about. And if you found value here, please share our with your friends. Until next time, peace and blessings.